Hello and welcome to the program UFO Warning. In this episode, we're talking about a reported UFO crash in Italy, 1933. That's correct, a reported UFO crash in Italy, 1933. Now, this is a report with a little bit of controversy around it, but I think it's worth researching and it's worth talking about. And I found a pretty detailed article on researchomniablogspot.com. Doesn't seem to be a lot of information on this stuff. It's out there, I'm sure, but it's hard to find. Now, basically, what we're told is that on June 13, 1933, a circular craft resembling a pair of saucers joined at their outer rims crashes near the town of Maderno in Lombardy, northern Italy. The object, made of thin, silvery-gray metal, was about 50 feet in diameter and less than 7 feet thick. No occupants in the object were found, but some researchers think that a war recovered two bodies inside. Says this crash happened 14 years before the worldwide famous Roswell, New Mexico crash. Successively, a spaceship was allegedly stored in the hangars of the SIAI Marchetti in Vergati near Milan, a building destroyed by fire in 1940. So, of course, this is 1936. World War II is just getting, underway in Europe, and that's going to go on until 1945. So this is definitely where we lose chain of custody of this thing. But so far, up to date, 1936, reported UFO crash or landing, disabled there. It must be unable to fly because it reportedly is sent to this SIAI Marchetti to be stored near Milan. Now, we're told that there were many UFO sightings between 1933 and 1940 in Italy. And a special secret commission during this rule of Mussolini was put together to study it. It says it was founded by Mussolini with pilot Italo Balbo and then some other scientists and dignitaries, and headed by Guglielmo Marconi. It says the first UFO case that they studied was in 1931 near Venice, and that this second is this famous case, when on June 13th, 1933, there was this UFO landing or crash in Lombardy with the UFO recovery. So there must have been an awful lot of UFO activity if Mussolini had put together a group to study these things before the crash had ever occurred. It says, after this episode, Mussolini created the secret commission Gabinetti RS-33. So you can see we go from a study group to this Cabinet Research and Espionage Group is what it stands for. It says he believed that UFOs were Allied or German secret weapons, but Marconi thought that they were extraterrestrial. And it says that we have three telegrams, that there's four, but we got three about the UFO recovery near Milan in 1933, and a protocol to the prefect for the Italian Secret Services and for newspapers to cover this news. In other words, they've got these guys, just like Men in Black, boy, they were really Men in Black, on the ground to investigate the scene or the sighting or the encounter of the UFO, and then they had instructions on what to tell the newspapers to say. They're going to control the narrative. It says that this Gabinetti RS investigated between 33 and 1940. Well, of course, this is in the middle of World War II, so I imagine that's when they lost control of it. It says many different Italian UFO sightings happened, and that in one case, an Italian fighter plane intercepted a UFO between Ravenna and Rome. Now, it says in August of 1936, there was a multiple UFO sighting, and two UFOs were seen over Mestre and Venice. It says it's also possible, that the German V-7 discoidal aircraft was initially developed after this. Well, that's just speculation. But what we do know is that in 1936, 3 years after this crash, another sighting occurred where they sent up a fighter plane to try to intercept it. But remember, 1936, they didn't have advanced aircraft. This is even what you would think of as pre-World War II stuff. In 36, maybe they got some monoplanes, but they're nothing like what they would even have a few years later with the Mustangs and all the great American fighter planes. I think it says that the plane was traveling 130 miles an hour. It's almost like a motorized kite at that rate. Now, we have a couple opinions on what's just, you know, what to think, what this sighting is all about. And the first one is from an Antonio Hunice, and it says, he says, first of all, you know, he tells us that we have to remember that Roberto Pinotti, that was Italy's leading UFO expert and director of CUN, or National Ufological Center, is now the world's largest civilian UFO research organization, and Alfred Lisani, another CUN researcher and writer, gave a lecture during the annual International UFO Symposium in San Marino in 2000 on the sensational discovery of alleged files going back to the 1930s when Italy was ruled by the fascist Benito Mussolini. And then it says copies of 18 secret documents from the fascist era were recovered, handwritten notes, telegrams, as along with forensic reports. Now, he goes on and tells us that it received considerable coverage in Italy, even national, even their national television network and their, you know, national papers. But these articles were posted in Italian online, and so it really didn't get traction amongst the UFO community in America. Remember, this is 2000. I'm not even sure we had Google Translate then. So 20 years ago, people in the UFO community in the US, like a lot of places, were still getting the majority of their information from the mainline news media. And of course, the mainline news media wants nothing to do with a story like this. Now, he says that although these articles were posted in Italian, the web, the Mussolini UFO documents were hardly noticed by the American UFO community. So this is the first time the full story has been told in any detail outside of Italy. He said that it all began in 96 when Roberto Pinotti received a handful of written notes. Talks about these notes that they were bearing the seal of the Kingdom Senate, and that was Mussolini's time period, because Mussolini ruled Italy with an iron grip, nominally under the title of king. And then they're dated 1936, and it reportedly by this secret agent. Kind of reminds me a little bit of Majestic 12. It says the year is 1936, and the secret agent uses simply a first name, Andrea or Andrew in Italian, and also includes a sketch even of the mystery airship. Reportedly, it was sighted in the morning, not in the evening. It says it was a metallic disc, polished and reflecting light, with a length of 10 or 12 meters. So you're talking what, 35 feet? We're told two fighters from a nearby base took off, but were not able to reach it even at 130 kilometers per hour. So their planes were only going about 100 mile an hour. These, like I said, motorized kites. Now, we're told the UFO didn't emit any kind of sound, which would lead one to consider an aerostat, or you could blimp, but it says everybody knows that balloons can't fly faster than the wind. Well, this is true. And it says, he reportedly says, I know for sure that it was seen by other aviation pilots. It was reported it has arrived to the hands of Ciano. Now, Count Ciano was Mussolini's son-in-law and Italy's prime minister of foreign affairs. And he was later executed after participating in a cabal to overthrow Mussolini and surrender to the Allies in 43. And his report continues, and then after approximately at least an hour, and after passing over Mestre, it was seen as a sort of metal tube or gray slate. Now, this is a little confusing to me because he says after passing over. So first we're told about this double, this saucer, flying saucer-shaped object, and now we're told that it appears as a tube. It was seen as a sort of metallic tube or gray slate. And then it says a drawing by a confidential informant was redrawn by Andrew, who explained that A was described like a kind of aerial torpedo with very clear windows and alternating white and red lights, where two hats, like those used by a priest, wide round with a dome in the center, metallic and following the torpedo without changing their relative positions. So now we have a description of two different UFOs. We have this tube-shaped UFO, and then this double-stacked saucer-shaped UFO, like the one that was reported to have crashed in 33. This is 36. It says the document mentions that the prefecture has opened an inquiry, but you can imagine that it will make little inroad and will have a similar outcome to that of 31. The Duce has expressed his worries because he says that if it were a matter of real English or French aircraft, his foreign policy would have to start all over again. Now, although Andre's report is only one of several received in 1996, you can see that its contents are sensational. They describe a classic flying saucer report with aircraft scramble and multiple witnesses in 1936. It also discloses that Mussolini and Ciano, Italy's number one and number two leaders at the time, were intimately appraised of the situation. Indeed, other caches of documents received, always anonymously by Kahn and the newspaper El Resto, mention a mysterious department known as Cabinet RS-33. It was charged with both investigating and covering up. Wow. It was charged with both investigating and covering up what the documents call unconventional aircraft or aeromobiles. Cabinet RS-33 had links with the fascist secret police, OVRA, and with Agenzia Stefani, the regime's news agency. So you see, you've got this government agency working in cahoots with this fascist government, the local news agency, and whoever else they need to cover up these UFO sightings and control the narrative. Well, it sounds familiar, doesn't it? It goes on and says, when World War II began, the cabinet secrets were shared with and literally shipped to Nazi Germany. As Lassoni points out, rumors of Nazi disc have plagued the UFO literature for decades. He kind of gets into this a little bit, too, where he talks about this. Here's the problem. What they saw were actual UFOs, but then as they shared this information with the Nazis, then the debunkers will come along and say, well, that was some sort of highly advanced Nazi UFO program, which, of course, is nonsense. If the Nazis had developed aircraft that could do what these UFOs are described as doing, the Nazis wouldn't have lost the war, okay? They were a deadly, hateful, spiteful, killer regime. And if they would have had that kind of technology at their disposal, they would have used it, okay, to its fullest effect, even with the mismanagement of a bumbling psychopath like Hitler. So I just think that muddies the water. In the same way today that we get these videos from the U.S. government of UFOs, and then we're told that, well, they could be an advanced mechanical device from the Russians or the Chinese. Well, we see the Russians and the Chinese both struggling in different theaters. You would think that if the Russians or Chinese had this kind of technology at their fingertips, they would have put it to use by now. So you see this whole idea of advanced technology by a third party, by an adversary, it just doesn't hold up the logic, and actually it only serves to muddy the waters. Now, they talk about the actual documents that they received, it says, only then when the documents released to the Italian press and published in a series of articles beginning on March 10th. So they had the documents examined. It says a series of chemical tests of the paper and ink. Remember, he had the originals and not copies, and he concluded that they seemed authentic. They seemed to be authentic handwritten documents from the fascist era. The color of the paper and ink aging processes led him to believe they were genuine and not modern forgeries. Lassoni also consulted with Andre Bedetti, a historian and expert on Italy's fascist period. He says, I cannot exclude the real existence of Cabinet RS-33, said Bedetti. He also examined the documents and said the lexicon and the bureaucratic style of the period, as well as the stationary Kingdom's Senate and Stefani agency telegrams and aeronautical terminology utilized, but then he found that all of it was consistent with genuine fascist era documents. Now he says he didn't rule out a skilled forger, but it would have had to have been somebody with deep knowledge of the fascist style, vocabulary, and terminology. Now we have a second opinion here from Alfred Lissani. He says my hypothesis basically tells us is that the saucer recovered in 1933 had been hidden in one of the most discreet hangars in that region, namely the hangar of the aeronautical establishments of Sia, Marchetti, and Verigati, or the Sesto Calende in the Varese region of Ticino, which at that date were under the control of General Italo Balboa. And of course, he's one of the members of this RS cabinet. Remember, Mussolini was in league with the leaders of the different factories and businesses. So fascism, you know, you are combining the corporate leadership with the government and basically just making slaves of the people. So they had all of these assets at their disposal. If they needed a big hangar to park this thing in, they had it. So he goes on, he says that it looks like on June 20th, 1933, they gave the first report emphasizing that forms of life on Mars were in contact with men of Earth. That happened a lot back then. If they found anything that they thought was alien or entities, they automatically assumed they were from Mars. It says almost as if it was a matter of official revelation that at the Marchetti at Sesto, there was a director with the name of Moretti, and at the time of the Italian Social Republic, it was precisely a man named Moretti who, having gone over to the resistance, had set fire to the hangars at Verigati, which maybe were guarding some unmentionable space secret. So this sounds like one of the people that had control of this hangar was afraid that the Nazis would get a hold of the spacecraft. And so as part of the resistance of the Nazi, of the freedom fighters, he actually set fire to this place in an attempt to destroy it. That's pretty interesting. It says, and finally, that when World War II was over, the U.S. forces, members of the Nazi Secret Service, were infiltrated precisely into Sesto Calende simultaneously with voices, quote-unquote, regarding the presence of terrestrial flying saucers kept at Verigati, and that the entire region from time immemorial was at the center of a most intense UFOlogical activity to such a degree that it gained the nickname of being the Ticino Triangle. Indeed, the RS-33 cabinet had continued to work right up to the time of the Italian Social Republic, the period in which a part of the documentation on UFOs and in several sealed boxes had been sent to Berlin, while a not irrelevant part, remained in Italy. And this latest consignment of materials, there were included copies of new documents which were possibly demonstrated the existence of agreements between Hitler and Mussolini for the study of alien technology, agreements that had been made in 1938. Boy, that's some scary stuff. You know, if the Nazis could have got a hold of this thing and somehow back engineered it, that would have been big trouble for all of us. Now it goes on and says, these documents were an Agent Stefani message from Florence containing an interview with the Fuhrer Hitler when he was visiting Italy, a banknote of the nominal value of 1,000,000 lira, black funds of the RS-33 cabinet, minutes regarding the oath of secrecy given by the professors who collaborated with the fascist government, and an invitation to Benito and Marcello Mussolini to Villa Torellano. Wow. So this thing just gets deeper and deeper, really, you know. And what we find out here is we've got multiple sightings in the early 30s, 1931. We've got this UFO crash in 1933. The craft is hidden away somewhere. We think it might have been intentionally destroyed by freedom fighters in an effort to keep it from falling into the hands of the Nazis. We have UFO sightings going on all during the war, because we've all heard of the Foo Fighters. And then there's stories about even the U.S. Army trying to recover this thing. And we know all about Paperclip, because that's where the U.S. went in and just got as many of the Nazi rocket scientists as they could to begin to develop our own space program. But what I think is fascinating about this is how this whole thing just ties into history, into the history of ufology, into the history of modern politics, and how all these governments, while they're telling you and I that they don't think these things are real, or that they believe that they're just manufactured by some other country, they understand this is some sort of advanced off-world technology, and they desperately are trying to get their hands on it. Whether it was back in 1936 or whether it's today, things seem to be playing out exactly the same way. Until next time, this is UFO Warning, over and out.